combination of Gemara and Zayin HaKodesh. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi once was walking along a road, isolated road, and time came for him to daven, early davening mincha. And he saw an uninhabited house there. He walked in. This is one of the homes that were destroyed from the Churban of Yisrael Yerushalayim. He went inside there to daven. While there, Eliyahu Navi came, waited for him by the door, till he finished his tefillah. When he finished the tefillah, Eliyahu Navi greeted him, and he said to him, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi. Yossi replied, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Almighty. And then they went into further conversation. Before we get to the conversation, which discusses the type of house that Yossi was in, let's first analyze very deeply this first exchange, something which has many sadist secrets and scholars' revelations to it. Let's identify Rabbi Yossi first. Rabbi Yossi was one of the main Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. By the main, we mean he had six main Talmidim, which comprised what was known as the Maveda. Maveda is seven candles. The central candle to which the other three turned to, this was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, representing the Shabbos, and the other six, three and three, were the other students, certainly the weeks of the days. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, one of his students, said, unto Shabbos de Puliyebi, you are considered a Shabbos of all days. Yes, he was one of those main six students. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shalom Alecha Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda replied, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Almighty. What does the word Rabbi mean? Could have two meanings. The word Rabbi alone. Rabbi means Rabbi. Rabbi could also be my Rabbi. In other words, there's a difference. Rabbi alone, you would say to any Rabbi. Rabbi, my Rabbi, you would say only to one who is higher than you. In other words, one Rabbi would say to the next Rabbi, but if the second Rabbi was greater than himself, he would say, Rabbi, my Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Yossi, apparently Rabbi, my Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi answered, Rabbi Umayri. For the word Umayri, we can determine what Rabbi means. Moret is teacher, Mighty, my teacher. Rabbi means the same as Mighty, my rabbi and my teacher. Which means that in the greeting here, Eliyahu Navi was the master. Rabbi Yossi was the Talmud. Rabbi Yossi's rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, is out. We find it a different light. There, when there was an exchange of greetings with Eliyahu Navi, always, Eliyahu Navi said to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Rabbi. Rabbi could be rabbi or my rabbi. But from the response, where always Rabbi Shimon Yochai said to Eliyahu Navi, Mar. Mar means same as Mr. or a respectful term, which could be said to a Talmud. So there we see the superiority of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who was so great that he was called rabbi by everyone, including the greatest of the heavenly forces. In fact, as you heard before, Rabbi Shimon Yochai once heard someone, a voice calling him by his name, without the word Rabbi, and this was in a gathering of a heavenly realm. Rabbi Chayezal said, whoever is calling me by my name without the word Rabbi could be no one, no person, no neshama, and no angel in heaven. It must be only Hashem himself, because no one would call me by my name without the word Rabbi prefacing it. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he spoke to Shimon Chayezal, never called him by his name, always called him Butzina Kadisha, which means holy light. Therefore, he responded to Hashem when he heard his name being called. That's what it was. Whereas in the case of Rabbi Yossi, Eliyahu Navi respected him as a student of Shimon Yochai Zal, as a rabbi, and called him Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi, in turn, said to him, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Umayri, accepting him as his rabbi, because he was the rabbi of most of the rabbis in existence, Eliyahu Navi. Well, we find that Rishi Rabbeinu, in his ascent to heaven, going up to heaven, received a Torah. Hashem showed Rishi Rabbeinu the future. To make this more clear, in the relationship between rabbi among rabbis, let's take the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi of the Gemara two generations before Rabbi Akiva. He had five major students. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who was the greatest, Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch, Machlokes in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yesi HaKohen, Shimon the Sanel, and these five are buried in Tiberia, Tiberias, those that visited it together. These five students were Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, having five students of such great stature, still when he spoke to them or about them, he would call them by their name. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Shimon HaChananya, would speak by their name without the title Rabbi, to teach them humility. They are Talmidim, and before their rabbi, they cannot use their title Rabbi. Therefore, he never would call them by the name Rabbi. These, imagine who they were. Eliezer HaGadol was the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the rabbi of Rabbi Shimon Yehoizal, still being so great, Eliezer HaGadol, he would still call him by his name. So we see that when the title Rabbi is used, it is a tremendous honor. And this is what the honor we bestowed upon Rabbi Yossi. Now, again, to show the greatness of these students, the Gemara says that when the Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, this is brought in the Midrashim. Of course, it's not mentioned in the Gemara openly because this deals with something that's a topic that's not mentioned in the Gemara. It's more of Seder's Kabbalah. Went up to heaven, and Hashem showed him the future generations, and he saw Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah. He was so amazed at the greatness of Rabbi Akiva to the extent where he asked Hashem, how come that Rabbi Akiva is not the Rabbeinu of all Jews? He is surely worthy of it more than I am. He knows more Torah than I do. In fact, the Midrash says that. Torah says, like, kam Nabi et Kemesha, that ever again arose a Nabi like Moshe Rabbeinu. True. But a chacham like Moshe Rabbeinu did arise, and that was Rabbi Akiva. He saw this greatness of Rabbi Akiva, and he said, this is the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. I would like to see his rabbi. He is this great. How great is his rabbi? Let me see a sample of what are the Kedusha and the Teda of Rabbi Akiva's rabbi. This is what he saw. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol and Rabbi Akiva were once walking along a road in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Akiva said to Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Tarsheni, Rabbi, allow me to ask a question. Eliezer HaGadol said, ask. The Akiva said, we find in the Shesh Yisimei Bereishis, 6 days of creation, where the Pasuk says, Hashem said, let there be light. Yihi er. And then it says, Vayichein, it was so. Hashem said, let this happen. Vayichein, it was so. How can we find that Hashem created Adam? He didn't say, let there be Adam. Vayichein, it was so. Where is the Vayichein? How come we don't find the confirmation in this creation? It was as Hashem said. Eliezer HaGadol answered, whatever the heavenly powers joined to take part in the creation of anything, then it says Vayichein, so. But when it was a creation by Hashem himself, required Hashem himself to create it, then it doesn't say Vayichein, because we don't need a confirmation of Hashem's creation. Hashem created it, wasn't necessary to say Vayichein, just as we see that it says that the Hinei Taif, Vayana Likim, Ki Taif, Hashem saw that it was good. What kind of a statement is that? Hashem created and then saw that it was good. Chas v'shalom, Hashem knows everything in the present. There's no past, present, or future. When a person, no matter how great a munchad expert, creates something, manufactures something, after he completes it, he surveys his work and he sees it's good. Comes out right, fine. How can you say by Hashem that after he completed it, then he saw that it was good? It's not child to use that term by Hashem. The answer is that Hashem saw that the work done by his heavenly officials was good. In other words, he placed a stamp of approval on it. But on something which Hashem himself did without the association of the others, then it doesn't say anything about the Kitav, or it doesn't say La'ichei. In most of creation, the waters took place, the heavens took place, and so forth. As each one took part in producing something. But when it came to Adam, then it was Hashem's masterpiece. Though it says, Nasa Adam, here specifically it says, let us create Adam. This the Gemara says to teach us the modesty of a master, a judge, to say we will not judge by ourselves, we'll take in the advice of smaller ones, lower ones. Hashem taught humility with this. In actuality, though, to produce in the Shema, produce life, this was only the act of Hashem. This is the answer that Elazar God gave to the Akiva. And then he paused and he started to cry very bitterly. Elazar God. The Akiva stood by for a moment and then he asked Elazar God, why do you cry? Is it something that I said? He said, no, it's something that you didn't pursue far enough. You don't see what I see in what you mentioned. He said, listen carefully. Hashem created light on the first day. On the second day, there was a separation. Third day, a different creation. And fourth day, there were 6 days of creation. These 6 days of creation are symbols. They represent the creation of the entire world. That is the existence of the entire world from beginning to end. There are 6 days of creation representing the length of time, the period of the entire world's existence. Since there are 6 days of creation, that means there will be 6,000 years that this world will exist. The Shabbos stands for the rest period. After the world exists 6,000 years, there will be 1,000 years of rest. That is the Shabbos. That means there will be a time when there will be no more of this type of work we have now, aggravation, normal life. We'll go into a world of heaviness. 7,000th year will be one of heaviness, pure rest like in heaven. These 6,000 years are divided. Each day is represented by a different portion of the world's existence, represented by names in Kabbalah too. The first 6 days of the first 6 fetus, Chesed, the first day, Geula, the second, the Tiferes, Netzach, Chai, Yisod, up to the 6th day. Now, each day represents 1,000 years. First 2 days, Chesed and Geula, we will not enter into the Kabbalah terms, but they could be applied very simply. First 2 days of creation, meaning the first 2,000 years, are called the days, or the thousands or 2,000 years of Tehu, emptiness, void. There is no life during those 2,000 years. There will be people, of course, there will be population, there will be civilization, but it's 2,000 years of void, because there will be no Tehu. The world without Tehu is a world of Tehu, void. When these 2,000 years are up, then we come to third day, and the fourth, third is Tiferes, Svita. Tiferes stands for Tehu, the 3,000 year, beginning of the 3,000 year, that's when the Tehu will be given. Third and fourth, those 2,000 years are called the Beis Alafim Tehu, 2,000 years of Tehu. The 5th day is the Svita for it is Haid. Haid means beauty. Haid is pretty. Beauty. What is this 5,000 year called? We already have 2,000 years of Tehu, of void, 2,000 years of Tehu. Automatically, what should follow? There are 3 tkufos, 2,000 years each. 3 periods of time, 3 eras. First is the era of void, second the era of Tehu. Automatically the 3rd tkufa should be the era of Moshiach. That's the next step. That means that the schedule, as I will say, the schedule for Moshiach to come is the beginning of the 5,000. This is height, beauty. So the time for Moshiach's coming is the end of 4,000 years, beginning of the 5,000. This, of course, was much prior to that time. Beginning of the 5,000, 1,700 years ago. This took place 2,000 years ago. President Gondel said, this is why I'm crying, because I see. And I see that the 5,000, the whole 1,000 years, Shia should come the first day. Or if he's delayed, a year later, 2 years in the 5,000. But I see the entire 5,000 in front of my eyes. And I see the change, transition, and height spelled backwards. It's Dober. It's a pasuk which says, Kol Hayim Dober. The entire day shall be a day of pain. From it is pain. Its beauty will be changed to pain. 5,000, instead of the beauty of Mashiach's coming, will be changed to 1,000 years of pain, struggle, suffering, deaths on the part of the Jews. I do not see the coming of Mashiach in the year 5,000. It will be coming at the 1,000 years. It will be 1,000 years of pain and suffering rather than the scheduled arrival of Mashiach. This too is not all. I see the 6,000th year. And there I see that in the 6,000th year, when the Kol Hayim Dove is over, 1,000 years of pain is finished, it will still be suffering because the 6,000th year is Erev Shabbos. It's the Friday, Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos does not start, the Shabbos does not start till the evening. So that over past half a day must go by before Mashiach will come, which means we have to pass the year 5,500. 500 years in the 6,000th year. Then, after Chatzais, it starts being considered literally Erev Shabbos. This is why I'm crying. This was a deep revelation. And then, Rabbi Akiva first started crying even more, with more bitter tears. This is brought elsewhere. Rabbi Gadol asked him, "Why do you cry so bitterly? To judge the extent of crying, you cry even more bitterly than I did. What worries you?" Akiva answered, "I cry at a much greater chorban. That's not a chorban. I cry at a chorban that will come much closer than the one you see. I cry for the day when you will be nostalgic. The day when your nostalgus will cause a darkening of this tremendous light of Torah that you spread. So much Torah coming from one person. This continuous revelation of secrets of Torah. Stay your nostalgic. This fountain will be shut, will run dry. And all your wisdom will be kept, closed up, locked in. This is why I cry even more bitterly than the loss that you see in the future. Nostalgus of a tzavik is a greater chorban." Rabbi Gadol said that Rabbi Akiva was the one Talmud who was fit to take over his wisdom. And of course, that's what happened in the later years. The day that Rabbi Gadol's Talmud came, he shut out the rest of the rabbis of the Gemara, that he revealed the secrets of Kabbalah to Rabbi Akiva alone. Moshe Rabbeinu saw this. He was so impressed by this, seeing that the Akiva's rabbi, Rabbi Gadol, that he said to Hashem, "I have a craving desire. I have one request. I want this one." Rabbi Gadol, "He is the one I want. I want the knowledge that he is mine. He comes from me." And the Medrash says that Hashem granted his request. Therefore, the Medrash says a secret of the words, but Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. The wording of the pasuk is, the name of one, that's the first one, his first son was Gershon. Name of the one, Eliezer, should be the name of the second, the name of the one. What's that? It's not the one, it's the second. The special one. They asked Hashem, "Let him come from me. I want Eliezer to come from me." Therefore, the word Ha'echad Eliezer, the Ezra Gadol, was originally the son of Moshe Rabbeinu, Eliezer. Ha'echad, the one, one and only one, so great that he was the Echad, the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. The Zohar Kodesh tells us that, too, Ezra Hagadol, why was he called Eliezer Hagadol? Why the word Hagadol? No. Gadol means the greatest, the eldest. He mentioned once that the Ezra Gadol, besides being the Gilgal, original one of Moshe Rabbeinu's son, Eliezer, he was also part, supposed to have been part of the Ascetus Harugei Malchus, the 10 brothers of Yosef HaTzadik. who sold him as a slave. Later, the trial came up in heaven, of course, and then it was replayed on earth. This was the Satan in heaven who brought this out. And on earth, a Roman king called in the 10 greatest rabbis, asked them the question, Kelev Ishu Choray, one kidnaps a Jew and sells him. What is the penalty? Penalty is death. They replied. He said to them, since I haven't got the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik to pay for this crime of selling him, then I'm going to take the next 10 greatest. Since their time, you'll pay for that crime. He killed 10 of the greatest rabbis at that time. Rabbi Yishmael Kain Godel, Yishmael Yuliel Nasi, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Chutzla Togavit, and of course, there were only 9 brothers who sold Yosef HaTzadik. Rabbi Akiva took a place in the Shechina, which had joined these 9 in this plot, agreement to sell Yosef HaTzadik. Akiva was a Kaddish Lashem, Kaddish, nostalgic for the sake of the Shechina. What about the fact that there were 9 who was missing? Missing one was Reuven. Where was Reuven at the time of the sale? He was home taking care of his father Yaakov Avinu. But what part did he play in this sale? When the first plan came up to kill Yosef HaTzadik, so Reuven spoke up, Ayatzilehu Biyada. He rescued Yosef HaTzadik from their hands. How? He said, let us throw Yosef HaTzadik into this pit, rather than to be guilty of pouring his blood. Though the Gemara says this pit had poisonous snakes, scorpions in it, Gemara points out clearly, Farshim, very important to note 2 things. What kind of a favor was this, normally to a snake, a poisonous snake pit? In the first place, the pit was 20 amos deep, about 40 feet deep. It was dark, so that he couldn't really know that there were snakes there. Perhaps had he known, he wouldn't have done it. On the other hand, even if he did know there were snakes, Lesser points us out that if he had a choice between the two, he said better to throw him to the snakes than to leave him in the hands of his brothers, because a Baal Bechira, one who has a choice, has more power than the Satan, the Malach HaMelech. The Satan, the Abinadel says, would always gladly, if he's attacking at Tzadik, trying to get at him, he has a chance to get this Tzadik to fall into the hands of a different person, he would gladly give him over to the hands of the other person, because a human can do more damage to a person than an angel, at least Satan himself. Therefore, Uwe felt, but let him better be thrown to the snakes, where he stands a chance of being saved through a miracle, through tefillah, much more than being saved from these humans. As if he did know about it. In any event, the more probability he did know, that's why the Yomar brings out the depth of this pit. So what he did was he saved him from death, intended to save him from either being killed or being sold as a slave, which is the equivalent of death because it carries a death penalty, and instead threw him into a pit. A pit is what the terms a prison, based on Sudo. Therefore, the Zayin HaKadosh says that since Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, he was called HaGadol because he was the Gilgal of Reuven HaGadol Shabi Acher, the eldest of the brothers. Because he did not take part in the sale of Yosef HaTzadik, he only had him thrown in prison. Therefore, the Gemara says in the way to Zohar that he too was taken in by the Roman king, but he wasn't killed as the others. He was put into prison. He was put on trial later, and the end was that he was released. He was kept prisoner for a while. This is the reason why he's called Elazar HaGadol. HaGadol, the oldest of the brothers Reuven, went through this experience in payment for the act of Reuven, while the others went through actual death payment for Gedei Bishul Chori. Same time, it's important to note, this is brought further in Sifrei Kabbalah, that we find in the Torah, when Yaakov Avinu was nostalgic, by he gave the brachas to his children, Reuven, he placed the curse on. He said to Reuven, you are Reuven Bechiri. You are my firstborn, the Gadol Shebe'achar, the eldest. And Yeser Se'es V'Yeser Oz. That means being the firstborn of Bechir, you should have gotten. Both the Kohuna and the Malchus. You should have been king of the Jews, and the Kohen being the oldest. You lost that because Oz Chilalta Yitzui Allah. You have committed a chil hapnis. Pasuk says that after the istalkos of Leah, Yishkav Uvein, that's Bilhah, Uvein committed with Bilhah, the wife of Yaakov. Committed what? Yaakovina said, Oz shal v'yitzui Allah. You committed a chil hapnis with my bed. The Gemara says what was done. You would see from here that there was a serious crime. The Gemara says, anybody who dares to say that the Uvein Chota committed a sin is a tayer, a fool, and a rasha. Say about the Uvein HaTzadik. Of course, it says Vishkan Uvein. Why does it use that term, that the curse? The Uvein did something for the sake of the honor of his mother Leah. He took the bed of Yaakov and moved it out of Bilhah's tent because he said, if my mother Leah was a stalik, then certainly it doesn't mean that Rachel's maid should take over. At least it should be Zilpah, maid of my mother, but at least take her place. He moved the bed of Yaakov out of Bilhah's tent. Of course, he had done this. He had dared to do something which refers to something so delicate. It was classified as though he had committed this act, sin with Bilhah, Chas V'Shalom. That term is used, but it is not Chas V'Shalom admit. You know, Siruvay was pure, but he can't have taken up this. Proof is, the Gemara says, it says, Vayhiyu b'nei Yaakov Shelosa. Sons of Yaakov were 12, all alike, with no difference as far as Kedusha was concerned. When we speak of the sons of Yaakov's families, we say, Hadu Uveini, Hashimini, not Hadu Uvein, Shimon, but Hadu Uveini, Hashimini. And so each one has the Shemit Kohadu Uveini, for example. The Gemara says, note the Hey at the beginning, the Yud at the end. That means that Hashem is Mitzadif. He attaches his name to each one, Yud K, show that each one of them is holy. Since Uvein has the same part of Uveini, Hashem added his name to each one. This is only where they are Tzadik, taken up this. Yet we find that Uvein was separated from the brothers because of this until his passing. Then we find the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Shvatim. First words were Yechidu Uveini al Yomais. Uveini was cut off by Yaakov Avinu. He couldn't. His bones could not rest. He couldn't go to get it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, let Uveini live the al Yomais, not be considered dead. In heaven, what is called death, Gehenna is called death, Gehenna is called life. Uveini be spared, save that they enter into Gehenna. This was the case with Uveini, and well, he has an Agadov, being the Gilgal of Reuven. Therefore, it was his lot to be separated from the rabbis during the Machlekes of the Tanush of Achnoi, like as with the oven. But because he maintained his deed that the oven is Tohe, when the rabbi, the Jari rabbi said Tohe, they said it was Tommy said it was Tohe, the rabbis put him in Cheder. He was separated from them until the day of his passing, when they said, the Chedim is released. He is free. Going through the same exact experience as Reuven, separated from his brothers, separated from the rabbis, till the day of his stalkers. This is why he is called Eliezer HaGodel, the Godel Shabiachim, HaEchot Eliezer. This is the one that Moshe Rabbeinu selected for himself. And yet, despite all his greatness, Yochanan ben Zakkai called him by his name because as a student he gets no covet, and this would help him in future years. Blessed HaGadol said during all his lifetime that I know nothing. This shows the true student type of Nosazal. I know nothing at all. Whatever I say, anything I ever say in my lifetime, is only what I received from my Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There's one case in the Gemara where Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was asked a question, and he tried to avoid, to shun the question, to change the subject, and with every possible power, till he told them that the answer to the question of what made him have true life. He answered, the reason for my living so long is this: I did not hate my Rebbe. That's why he tried to avoid it until he was pressed to it. He said, one time you're making me break my habit. The reason is that I never allowed anyone to come to the yeshiva before me. I was always the first one to come to the yeshiva. Ever considered against my cover to come earlier. The Gaidim say that because this was one of the qualities, Mazra Godel came first to the yeshiva, he was zecher with this, to be the first rabbi mentioned in Shas. Shas begins with the Gemara Brachim, Nosa Kane Shema Be'Avis, Mazra Godel, Amen. First name of a rabbi mentioned in Shas is Mazra Godel. Of course, he was the first one to come to the yeshiva always. Never let anyone precede him. It was zecher, to be rewarded by having his name mentioned, very first rabbi in all of Shas. Now, this again was the loyalty of Lazar Gadol to Yochanan ben Zakkai, and through being treated in such manner, he learned the derechetz. Because he had this derechetz, therefore, he had his derechetz of fear. The Gemara says that a person who has a deep love for rabbis, that person is zecher, that he'll have sons-in-law of rabbis. He has a deep ahava for rabbis, and he will be zecher that his daughters will marry rabbonim. Person has a respect, very high respect. There's a difference. A deep respect for rabbis is chalbi. He will have sons who are rabbis. His old sons will be rabbis. Person who has a deep fear, tremendous fear and awe of rabbis, that person will be zecher that he himself will become a great rabbi. The Gemara says, what if that person is not fit to become a rabbi? What if he hasn't got the capacity for it? At least to become great, an authority where his words will be listened to and accepted by all others as a rabbi. This because of this deep fear that the Eliezer HaGadol had for his rabbi, Yochanan Zakkai. He would never dare to say a word he had heard from him. Therefore, he became Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. And this we see too, Rosenzal's secret became so great. Rosenzal became the top student of Rabbi Eliezer, carry on after him, because of the same type of midah. He dropped everything. He knew nothing, he said, except that which he learned and received from the Rabbi Eliezer. Nothing else counted as chachmah. Now we turn to the story of Yossi and his encounter with Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi asked Rabbi Yossi, why did you go into this chulva, this house that's destroyed? Yossi answered, I went into that. So Rabbi Yossi was asked, Eliyahu asked him, why didn't you dine outside on the road? Why? Because the chulva is a place that's destroyed, almost destroyed, and there is the constant danger of Shedim there. Why is there a danger of Shedim? Well, study the nature of Shedim in general. Yor says that Shedim have powers that are far superior to humans. Shedim are half angel, half man. If they are superior, much more powerful, what would the nature be? Would they be glad they are Shedim, or would they prefer being human? The Gemara says that Shedim, regardless of their power, are constantly envious of humans. They're envious of the fact that a human could reach a madrega even higher than an angel. And therefore, this envy makes them become mazikim. This is the reason why they do harm, why they hurt humans. To the extent that they are willing to maim, to cripple, or even to kill a human being. This is out of envy. We find that the pasuk says that Cain killed Hebel because of jealousy. Jealousy, kina, can be so great, it can lead to destruction. And this is the nature of Shedim. Now, where do Shedim live? Where are they found? The Gemara says that Shedim originally had the freedom of roaming the streets of cities, but every person's life was in danger. They would come in, they could do physical harm or property damage, unlimited. They had this power. Till the Gemara says, one day, the Shedim came into the city, they met up with Rabbi Chaim ben Deisa. Rabbi Chaim ben Deisa was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was so great, if you recall, Pepe Mazakai's child was ill, and the Chayil Deis's Tvila cured this child because of the fact that he was called, like himself, being a child of Hashem, a beloved child of Hashem. So powerful was his Tvila. These shaded this pain that the Chayil Deis's, they wanted to do him harm, to cripple him, and they stopped short. They asked him, why do you stop? Why don't you go on with your work? And they said, because we visited heaven. We visit heaven regularly. And in heaven, we hear a voice constantly saying to us, beware of Rabbi Hanina and his Taina. Taina he learns. Beware of him because he is very precious in heaven. Which means, watch out, don't start with him. That's why we don't touch you. Chayil Deis's said, if that's the case, if I am that valuable in heaven, then I hereby order you to permanently cease coming into the cities. You are expelled from entering these cities. Shaydim knew this order meant that they would be kept out forever. They pleaded with Chayil Deis's, don't block us completely. Give us a chance. Let us have some pleasure, too, of seeing the cities. Let us come at least at certain periods. Give us a set time. He said, fine, I'll give you 2 times a week that you're allowed to come into the cities. One is Tuesday night. The other is Friday night. Why these 2 times? Because during those times, Friday night, the nature of a Jew is night of Shabbos, that he eats a meal which is incomparable. Food of Shabbos has tavlin, a spice in it, which cannot be found any other time of the week. You make the same type of meat, same type of vegetables, and yet when you taste it on Shabbos, it has a different tone entirely. Even the challah, which a person does not find tasty or appetizing during the week, on Friday night, tastes better than any cake during the week. Why? Because there's a special spice that gives Shabbos the Ein Elam Haba, feeling a taste of Elam Haba. After the meal is over, there's another thing that has a spice on Shabbos. This is sleep. The word Shabbos, Shin Beis Tov, Meshetavis is Shina, Shabbos Tainan. Sleep on Shabbos is Tainan. Also a pleasure that's Haifael and Haba. During the week, the Nizal says that it's wrong for a person to sleep by day. It's a little dangerous. If you don't sleep by day, he's liable to have a different Neshama come down, bad Neshama, Chas V'Shalom. In general, a person should sleep away. Shabbos is a special time when sleeping on Shabbos is Shina, Shabbos Tainug. Shin Beis Tov, special tainik to it, because Shena, sleep, is 1/60th of death during the week. Shabbos is 1/60th, comes after death, which means Gede, also 60th of Gede. Therefore, a person on Friday night is busy with Shabbos meal, he learns something, and he goes to sleep. A person generally does not walk outside of his house on Friday nights. Streets are empty, Jewish homes. That's why I said to the Shaydun, Friday night, I grant you, you can have it. Tuesday night, too, in those days, is a special night of staying in for various reasons. They gave him these 2 nights. Also, Tuesday night, of course, was a night of protection. It was a night of Ivonvona, Mesul, and Nisas, Lien Hanavi, the Yakodish, as Abedas operates in the Sefer Abedas. The proper date, night, for a wedding, for a Pesuba, is Tuesday night. First words of the Gemara Ksuba says that Pesula Nisaas, perilously married, again one of thee, on the night of the 4th day, the night of Wednesday, which means Tuesday night. The HaKadosh says that the first letters are Levana, Limur, which stands for the Shechina Pesula song. They gave him these 2 nights. The Gemara says that they had this 2 nights of freedom. Many years later, generations later, they came into the city again, and they met Abaye. Abaye is one of the 2 rabbis, Abaye and Rabba, from the Amoraim, later generation of Amoraim, the rabbis of the Gemara, who are most often mentioned in the Gemara. Abaye is the Abaye of Rabba's court. The Gemara speaks about that Yechiel ben Zakkai was one of the greatest students of Hillel HaZakeh, and it says, why was he so great? Because he knew all the Chedrei HaTorah. He knew the language of the Shaydu, the language of the trees and everything. He knew the Kabbalah. He knew the Havayas, the Abaye Vedala. Questions that Abaye Nava asked in the Gemara. The speaking about Noi Gemara, they mentioned Abaye and Rabbah. Shaded met Abaye, they wanted to harm him, and they said to him, we can't touch you.
He said, why? He said, because in heaven, they say, be careful for Abaye and his Tatum. Abaye said, if that's the case, then I hereby decree that you never come into this city again. That which the Kriyama Desa allowed you Tuesday night and Friday night, we now lose that privilege. Therefore, they do not come into the cities.
But Gemara asks, we see sometimes they do come into the city. Gemara asks, but sometimes one of their horses gets lost and they send somebody to retrieve it. Sort of a sharp statement. In any event, they're not seen in cities anymore.
Where do they assemble now? Where do they abide?
Where is their abode? Where they reside? In the forests. Places that are uncivilized. They are forced into areas not civilized, uninhabited, but they would certainly prefer to be among humans. And therefore, if they have their choice of living in a hut, in a home, in a castle, even in the forest, or in a broken-down home where a human once lived, they'd rather stay in that home where a human once resided in. That's why this hutba, this destroyed home that was uninhabited, the LRB said to Rabbi Yossi, this is a dangerous place because here is where the Shaden would most probably want to congregate. You walk into this place, you are in complete danger. You're jeopardizing your own life by going in there. This stake fit to you harm. Abiyasi answered, I had this question in my mind too, but I had to decide between two items. One, the fact that Adin says a person should not walk into a chutba where Shaden are, not dabbling this home. Second, where could I dabble? Outside on the road, he then says you should not daven in an open place because you have not the fear of Hashem on you except in the place which is enclosed. Daven inside. I had my choice. Where should I go? That's why I felt better daven inside with the fear of Hashem. Perhaps that will protect me. The end of the answer that we should have davened outside and as far as the fear of the open place, mainly because people could stop you. Passers-by would stop you and ask, it's not like nowadays, what person would stand outside today would be, and be acting strange, nobody would stop and ask if anything was wrong. They'd be afraid to get involved. Those days when people were normal, see a person standing outside, motionless, eyes closed, they'd walk over and ask, is there anything wrong? Can I help you? And he mouths that came from davening. So, because of that danger, they might stop you. You know, he said the answer for that is there is a tefillah called Habinenu. It's an abbreviated tefillah where the first beginning of the Omos, the Brachos, beginning until Kiyama Kodesh, you say, and then Atachinen, till Shmei Tefillah, there's 13 Brachos. It's a compact bracha, one single bracha that contains all 13. The tefillah, the first bracha Atachinen is for Das, for wisdom. Second one is Shivenu, is for Tshuva, Teder. Third is Slachlanu Bechiva, the fourth is for Yisrael, for Gula, the fifth of the Pedas, for the fourth, the sixth Balechaleno is for Hanasa, the Yerlano Shidim, the destruction of Kab Shefer, for the Shefer of Mashiach, Ashiva Sheftenu, for the judges, our own rulers, Ramashidim, the destruction of Bikursim, Awat Sadikim, the Tefillah, in Shlaim Ircha, Shinish returned to the Shemaim, Esselach David, the rise of Melach Mashiach, then finally, Shemiyat Tefillah, which will be accepted. This Bracha Abinenu has all these words in one single Bracha. Give us Das, Tshuva, Teda, Chila, Fua, Anasa, and so forth. A person who is case of emergency, unable to davening, Italian davening, can say this Bracha, this Tefillah Abinenu. Now, of course, nowadays we don't say it, because nowadays we could daven the whole Shemiyat Tefillah much faster than they could ever daven Abinenu before. The Kavanah they had there, Abinenu, meant that it was an abbreviated tefillah, would cut down their davening to the length of time it would take us to say the whole Shemot Esrei plus probably the Kavanahs and the Ashrei and so on. This is what the enemy told Rabbi Yossi, you should have davened Abinenu. And he said, Rabbi Yossi, when you were in there, did you hear anything? He said, yes, I did. I heard a voice, soft voice, like the cooing of a dove. The Shemitah is compared to a dove, Kanfeyiner. And this voice said, woes to thee, how pitiful it is, what a pity it is of the children who are driven away from their home. Jews driven from their home driven away from the temple of their father, Beis HaMikdash, woes to the fact that they have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, group of my children of Eretz Israel. This is the Shechina, Bimodi, Lachel Mavakya Abadah. Again, Lachel stands for the Shechina. In the enemy said to Rabbi Yossi, it is true, this voice you heard. But know too that this is not the only time this voice says it. This voice comes every time that the Jews come to Shul, Dab, and they say, every time the Jews say this, this voice comes from heaven and says, how beautiful is the tefillah of the Jews who give praise to Hashem. What a pity it is that these Jews, these children, driven away from their father's home. And the more times the Jews say Israel with Kavana, the more they evoke the pity of Hashem from heaven, while they strengthen the chances of Mashiach to come. This Kayach of Tefillah, Eishmei Nabla, saying it, especially with the Iskashas to the Tzadik Emes, surely realize that via some Mashiach, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Gula Shleimah, Pheda, Yemenu, Amen, Fiyamei.